Mustard seed faith is not little faith. You'll hear these people say, all you got to do is have a little faith as a seed. No, if that was the case, the Lord wouldn't rebuke people for little faith. It's not little faith. It's great faith. Amen. He rebuked people for no faith and little faith. Those two things does not please him. No matter what anybody tells you, it doesn't please God. There's not very many things that please God that's in the scripture, but the Bible says faith. Without it, you cannot even please him. So he expects faith. He expected the children of Israel after 40 years to continue in faith. He had no pleasure. I mean, how'd you like to walk around in the wilderness for 40 years with the same scenery every day, the same thing every single day, eating the same food every day, and not tend to just stop? He didn't have any pleasure in someone who turned aside, even in the end, right before they got to the promised land. After 40 years, whole group of them turned aside. He had no pleasure. One thing I told Anna, I said, no matter whatever happens, the one thing you can never afford to do is stop the operation of faith. You can't. If the enemy's running over your life, you think by stopping, you'll stop the war. He will never stop because you get marked. Once you get marked, you get a certain place in God, you get marked. And the only thing that's going to keep a shield around you is faith. You can check out, but that's not going to cause the enemy to check out. He's going to continue and continue. But what one thing will keep a shield around your life is faith. And it's one thing you ought to do more than anything in your life. Learn it, keep it, do it. Amen. And sometimes it's not easy. Don't let anybody says, oh, that's easy. Anybody who says that are not doing it. There are times it's wonderful. There's a time that's awesome. There are times also it's routine. But it's like working out. You do it. Amen. Mustard seed faith is not little faith. The Lord continuously rebuked those for having little faith. Mustard seed faith is faith that operates like a seed. Though very small in the beginning, it has the capacity to grow astronomically greater than its own size. Furthermore, it's faith that sees the end from the beginning. In the same manner, a seed possesses the full image of what it was designed to be, already programmed within. Every seed that's ever planted, whatever you see come out of that, that was programmed inside it. The seed already knew what it was going to look like. The finished work didn't look like the seed. It looked like what was in it, the seed. You're not going to look like what you presently look like. You're going to look like what's inside that nobody else can see. When you look at any seed, unless you're just a seedologist, you can't tell what kind of seed that is. You can't tell till you plant that thing what it's going to look like. But that seed within has already been programmed to the end. That's the divine programming of God. That's the genius of God. He puts the end in the beginning. He locks it and he programs it inside. Amen? God allows us to see the end from the beginning through the revelation of his word, prophecy, heavenly encounter. When you get close to God, you're going to start seeing things. That's just the way it is. He's going to start showing you things to come. He shows you things to come. All of this is designed to allow us to see his divine design for our lives, or a generation, or a church, or a calling, to see his divine design, thereby causing our faith to align with the image of that design. That's what true faith is. So therefore, mustard seed faith is faith that continues to see and to speak that divine design until it openly manifests and multiplies in the earth. Let's give God glory. I'm speaking that out of Mark 4, and that's where you can go in your Bible. Mark 4 is a very profound, profound chapter. Whether it's Matthew 13, Mark 4, Luke 8. The profoundness, he said, and he actually said, if you don't understand this parable, how can you understand any parable? He says, unto you was given to know the mystery of the kingdom. And he speaks the mystery of the kingdom in this. And I want to read this part, Mark 4, verse 30. And he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? The whole chapter is about the word of God the word of the kingdom. Actually, Matthew 13 calls it, you remember the parable about the sower sows the word? Well, Matthew 13 says the word of the kingdom, a very specific operation in the kingdom of God, the word of the kingdom. Say word of the kingdom. He said, when do we like in the kingdom of God? What comparison? It's like the grain of the mustard seed when it's sown in the earth. It's less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it's sown, it groweth up. Say, it groweth up. It becomes greater than all the herbs, shooting out great branches so that the fowls of the air may lodge on the shadow of it. So, in this parable, Mark 4, he said, the sower sowed the word. The father of creation, he just didn't sow that word, that Bible. He sowed the full image of the word. Everything contained in that Bible was sown in a seed. Say, the kingdom of God is within. Say, some say, lo, here, lo, it's within. How about this? Christ in you, Colossians, the hope of glory. Unto you it's known, been known the mystery from the ages and generations, which is, he called it a mystery, Christ in you. Christ in you is defined by what you see. Some see Christ in you is a ticket for salvation. And that's all it ever is to them. It's just salvation. That's my ticket to glory. I'm going to live my life the way I want to. Others see other things. Christ in you is the full encompassing of all things. It's the encompassing of the fruits of the Spirit. It's the encompassing of the calling, the ministration, who you are, what you're called to do, the breadth, the length, the width, the height of that calling. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Say hope of glory. What does that mean? What does Christ in you, the hope of glory mean? He said, unto you, from ages and generations, to make known the mystery from the beginning, which is Christ in you. Everybody's got that. What does the hope of glory mean? What else was programmed in there? Remember, God programs the end, say the end, from the beginning. Go to Romans 8, let me show you something. When we first preached this, we preached Mark 4, literally, day in and day out in the beginning. We preached wisdom, the confessional, the wisdom manual, Mark 4, your Bible would have opened to Mark 4. And I didn't see all that I see now. We saw what we could see, but I'm seeing so much more now. Praise God. Why? Because the more you grow or the deeper you get into God, the more you see. Amen? So God unveils something else, what he's really after, what he really wants. What's this hope of glory thing? What's the hope of glory? Look in Romans 8, 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. I'm a joint heir. Here's what you're joint heir to. You're joint heirs. If we suffer with him, you're joint heirs with his suffering. Your old man died with him. That we may also be glorified together. Say, I'm joint heir to what? To be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared. You need King James here. This is a very powerful verse. Not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be what? Revealed in us. What's he speaking about? The resurrection. For the earnest expectation of the creature. Hey, creature. Waited for the manifestations of the sons of God. Part of this Christ in us, the hope of glory, was not just salvation. He programmed your whole salvation inside that seed. Inside of you is programmed, which nobody can see except what you see. Inside there is programmed an outward manifestation of not just ministry, of not just fruits, of not just operations and gifts and callings, which is all there, but also an outward manifestation of a new body. A glorified body has already been programmed within you. A glorified mind has already been programmed. How about this? Glorified emotions. How about waking up and never ever having a fallen emotion of discouragement, fear, depression, oppression, worry, anxiety? All the emotions of Adam are gone. A glorified emotional faculty of joy, peace, love, streams of harmony flowing out all the time. And humility, Christ in you, in the seed. So let's go back to this mustard seed. If you put Luke 8, Mark 4, Matthew 13 together, he says, he that heareth the word of the kingdom would bring forth 30, 60, 100 fold. So there are levels of the seed that can be revealed. 30 fold revealing is a powerful revealing. This is talking about now where the seed comes out into manifestation. A 60 fold revealing. 100 fold glory like Christ himself walked in. Unlimited measure. We call that 100-fold. When you're 100-fold, it's not sow your seed, get 100-fold return. But there is the blessing, no doubt about it. But the 100-fold manifested glory, the anointing without measure. Wherever you go, city shake. Wherever he went, city shake. You see the revealing from within. So every single one of us have the capacity for 100-fold. God doesn't choose that. You choose how much of Christ can come out of the seed. Amen? But mustard seed faith, so he said, he that heareth the word of the kingdom, you put Mark 4, Luke 8, Matthew 13, one will say, hear the word of the kingdom and receive it. One of the other translations say, hear the word of the kingdom and understandeth it. And the other translation will say, not translation, but we put all three together, hear the word of the kingdom and keep it. So you have hear and receive. Hear and understand, hear and keep. You have to receive the word, but then you got to understand, because this word is ever expanding. It's wrapped up in a mystery. It's not going to be understood day one, but the more you understand of the word of the kingdom, you hear, receive, understand, and keep. This goes back to the mustard seed faith, because if, he always puts this caveat, if you have faith as they can work as the grain of the mustard seed, then you can say unto the mountain, be thou removed, and cast into the sea, and it will obey you. There's mountain moving faith that's locked up in that seed. Not just us saying, I'm a mountain moving, devil stomping, tongue talking believer. It's not just that. It's true faith that can move mountains in the earth. Faith that can move large mountains and cause them to bow down. Faith that can move generational mountains. Mountains over cities, regions, mountains over a nation. Faith that can do, it's locked in the seed. If you have faith as the grain, that's not little faith, by the way. Now, to get the mountain moving faith, which is what we're after, that's in the seed. I always, when I wake up, I say, it's in the seed, Lord. It's in the seed. It's in the seed. You have to have faith that continues. Part of mustard seed faith is faith that continues, that doesn't stop until it arrives to its destination. It's faith that will stay with the process. Faith that will continue without when you can't see. Faith will speak and continue because it's faith that believes. That's why I said, if you believe on me, out from your innermost being will, out of the seed will flow rivers. There's rivers in this seed. There's a fountain in the seed. The water I shall give you will be a fountain that springs up. Where is it springing out from? Christ in you. There's a fountain in there. There's rivers in there. All of that, the kingdom of God is within you. It's in the seed. It's in the programming. But it's a faith that has to continue into the day. Well, in our case, we had a journey. We started You know, when I started in the ministry, before the ministry, God hooked me up. This man named Dave Roberson taught me how to pray in tongues. There's times I'd be praying 10, 12 hours a day. Speaking mysteries, 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 mysteries. And I stayed under Dave for 20 years. I was there with him the whole time. God separated. And after the big church split we had a long time ago, I checked out for like 11 months. And then I checked back in. God started this thing called the right hand of God. I remember the first couple of messages like, I want to preach on this the rest of my life. Because something was coming out I never heard before. He didn't preach that. God was giving it, and it streams that came out. And then series after series after series, because the seed began to unveil something that, whoa! There was an end-time programming inside of the seed of Christ that God wasn't going to reveal to the end-time generation. But it was all there. It was in the beginning. When Christ, in any generation, it was there, but God had a certain part of the programming that was in Christ, the King. You call him Christ the King. That God wasn't going to reveal to the time of the King. Amen? And so, here we are in the last days, and all of a sudden this program of Christ the King starts coming out. The right hand of God starts coming out. The finished work starts coming out. Riches and glory. And this whole realm of ascension and descension, and he walked up and down, and he said a generation would walk up and down in what? His name. All that's part of the programming. A whole generation would see the glory of God returning. House of David. How about House of David? He wasn't ministering the House of David in the early church. He was taking the throne of David up into glory. He told them in Acts 1, they said, are you going to restore again? And he said, no, it's not for your generation to know this. But you'll receive Holy Ghost to be my eyewitness of my resurrection, that I've come out of the grave. He was in on building a new creation. Acts chapter 2, he ascends up into the heavens. Peter's talking about his ascension to heavens, and he says, this fulfills the prophecy that God swore to David there'd be a man that always sits on his throne. And this resurrection fulfilled this very thing. Speaking that Christ sits on the throne of David in the heavenlies. I'll set my king on the holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. So he raises Christ up. He reassigns the throne up into the heavenlies. So he's not talking about the house of David, but in the seed. Say in the seed. The return of the house of David. It's in there, locked in a programming that God said, okay, hold that programming for the end times. But it was all there, because the seed possessed the end from the beginning. Hold the program until appropriate time. Every generation had a certain part of the manifestation of the seed. So any generation that came along, their part of the seed would have to come out for the restoration. Mark Hammond wrote an awesome book, The Eternal Church. Everyone should read that. Amazing. He talked about the restoration from Martin Luther and every generation, how God was restoring. It took him 500 years just to get salvation and the baptism of the Holy Ghost back. And now you can get both of those in one single day. Isn't that awesome? So Martin Luther in the 1600s, in the early part of 1900th century, the Holy Spirit fell, Azusa Street. And then here comes the healing evangelist. Then the teacher, the office of a teacher, and he's restoring the offices. And then the prophetic offices, and the gifts, callings, administrations, how he's restoring that 100 years just to get all that restored. When the Holy Ghost came in, he starts restoring. And now the end time apostolic office. But all of that's in the seed. So each person born in any generation, they had their image of the seed. Amen? They had something they had to contribute from that seed. He's unveiling a finality. And now comes an end time church where he promises Christ would open the house of David to. He that had the key to the house, he's going to open that house. He's going to return the house of baptism. All of this stuff, all of this is in the seed. We start seeing all this, preaching all this, praying all this. And he starts teaching us how to pray a different way. How to move mountains, how to stand, and how to approach the mountain from the top. You know, I don't address mountains when I start praying. I address me. I trust my stuff. I have to go through a process before I start speaking into me. I got to go through a process of exchange. And I like to be thorough about it because I need it. I got to bury the old man all the time. Some people don't have old mans. I have an old man. Stubborn old man. We got to bury, exchange, fellowship with the Father, walk out into some new stuff in the right hand of God. Identify. You know what we're doing up there? In there, whatever you want to say. We're just identifying with the finished work. You were raised together, made to sit together. The Christ in you has already been crowned. But all we're doing is going up there and identify. I had somebody at the house the other day and I started talking to her. She goes, well, tell me what you do when you go do all that. So what's that like? She prayed with me. I said, well, you prayed with me before. She says, I know how to go through the door. I said, it's just like that. It's just identifying with something else. I'm identifying with the fact that our body has already been resurrected to him who was justified, to them he glorified. You were called. You were raised together, made to sit. I said, where are you sitting? Are you sitting on a wooden stool up there somewhere? Where are you sitting? Where he sits. Where does he sit? He's sitting on the throne of David. The throne of all thrones. Perfected in every way. You've already been made to sit. That means you've already been made to sit down. It means you're already a part of the house of Judah, which means you've already been crowned. So we're identifying with things that are already done, but all that's in the seed. Ultimately, we want to stay with the seed until we get it to finality. Or do we follow? He that followeth me will not walk in darkness. Well, if you turn aside, you'll walk in darkness. But if you continue to follow me and stay with me, how do you follow him? Well, I just wake up and he tells me where to go today. No. He's talking about following him, the living word. Following him, the word of the kingdom. Follow me. How do you follow him? I receive the word of the kingdom. I hear the word of the kingdom, receive it. I hear the word of the kingdom and understand it. I hear the word of the kingdom and I keep it. I keep it. How do you keep the word? You keep it in the heart. You keep it in your mouth. The frontlet of your eyes. He told this to Moses. He told it to David. He told it to Solomon. He told it to Paul. It never changes. You have to keep the word of the kingdom in the frontlet. And you can't let it go. Because Mark 4 says there's an enemy. He's coming with persecutions, afflictions, cares of this life, deceitfulness of riches, lust of other things. He's only after the word. He's not you he's after. It's what's inside of you. He wants to snatch that life before it manifests. Because when it gets the manifestation zone, he has no defense for it. So he wants to come and cancel the seed within. He'll use anything. He'll use you against you. Ishmael's human sufficiency. He'll bring anything. That's why when you want to pray, all of a sudden, your to-do list, anxiety shows up. Because you have an enemy, and if you're not aware of how he operates, he'll cancel every single day of your life out to get you to stay who you are. But God wants us to follow. All this is part of mustard seed faith. I'm continuing with this word. I'm following in this word. I'm staying with this word of the kingdom. For us, it's the word of the kingdom. It's the word of the crown. It's the word of life. It's the word of the resurrection now. He's got us tracking in the resurrection. We're seeing the new day. All that's inside. The glory that's going to be revealed within us. If it's in me, I want some of it now. He said, either believe it on me, out of your belly will flow rivers. It's not a one-time shot. Oh, I believe on you today and you stay in a week and nothing happened. No! This kind of glory is reserved for those who won't quit. They won't turn aside. Look at how many turned aside. It's not for the multitudes, the fine, it's for the few. I mean, you'll die on the beach if you have to. But I'm not moving. I've been given an order. I've been in a command. And when you got the command, you'll die in that command before you ever let go. That is instilled in the Marine. It's kind of like that. You got to stay with it through hardship. You got to stay with it when nothing looks like it's ever going to happen. You got to despise not the day of the small beginning. I think we qualify for that. We've been in the same place for years and years and years, but we're not in the same place. Only in the natural, we're in the same place. In the kingdom, we've been moving. in the kingdom we've been building, in the kingdom we've been keeping, in the kingdom we walk up and down in His name, in the kingdom we're going to access something. Oh, that's up in the right hand of God in the finished realm, accessing resurrection life, accessing the crown, identifying the fullness, identifying the end from the beginning, seeing the end, because that's already been programmed. The more you keep it, the more you see. I'm sitting in the end all the time because that's what I see. Ultimately, He wants to bring it here. He's promised, if you don't quit, if you continue in My word, if you continued as a seed, I'm like, Lord, the seed is taking a whole very, 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 very long time to get out of the ground. He goes, that's because there's a whole lot programmed in this one. You're not in some five-fold field. You're not in a 30-fold. You're in a 100-fold glory of end time. Half of your journey was just to learn how to go find out what you were looking for. More than half. Half your journey is learning how to get to the place where you could actually see what's in the end. Identify and receive. Because you're not receiving from the realm that is. You're receiving from the realm that's to come, but it's already finished inside. But you got to go receive. He that believeth, have faith in God. He says, believe that you receive, you shall have. Finding the order of these things, how it worked, how to build. You don't get here overnight. We got there by following with a lot of trouble, a lot of issues, but we didn't quit. Amen. You can have a perfect person that turns aside. Got a whole, have a whole lot more pleasure in somebody that doesn't turn aside, even though they had 50 times the problems the perfect person had. He has pleasure in those who don't turn aside. Those that turn aside, He has no pleasure in. I'm going to tell you right, I'm on this Marine thing. A true Marine would never turn aside. They would stay to the very end. Last man standing, it's what they would do. It's just ingrained in them. It's ingrained in us. It's inside of you. I've been given an order to follow. People are always handing me things and you show and teach me. You won't read anything. I'm like, I'll read anything. I just don't want a lot of stuff inside because I know where I'm going. I know what He wants inside me. I don't want to fill it with a whole bunch of other stuff. I want to stay very focused on the mission. I want to stay with what God said. I know what He said. Don't worry about how it's going to look right now. Jesus was born in a stable. God wasn't worried about what it looked like. You're not going to worry about what it looks like until the anointing comes on it. When the glory comes on, it's going to look like signs, miracles, and wonders. It's going to look like life and life more abundantly. It's going to look like arise, shine, thy light has come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon. The glory is seen. The revealing of the age to come. The revealing of the liberty and the freedom of the sons of God. An age of the manifestation of the sons of God revealed to humanity. The crowning glory. I don't fully all know what that's going to look like. But I know when the house of David returns, there's going to be a government of increase. There's going to be glory. There's going to be a great wealth transference that's going to accompany it. A great one. There's going to be glory. Manifested glory. Like the days of Solomon. There's going to be wisdom with it. There's going to be song and sound with it. There's going to be a renaissance. Poetry, songs and sound of the right hand of God, all will come out. It's all in the seed. Listen, when I started seeing some of the end from the beginning, I was seeing some of this years. Sometimes you're too prophetic. Somebody tell me you get to the gate way too early. It's not fun if you don't know what to do if you arrive at a gate that you can't go through. If you arrive at a gate you can't walk through. And you're sitting at the same gate, or you're sitting in front of the same ceiling day and night, day and night, day and night, and you don't know what to do, or what to do with all the stuff inside you that got you there, you're going to be a very discouraged person. You're going to be very frustrated, is the word I'm looking for. You're going to be frustrated all the time, because you can't do anything. We slammed up against the wall, bam, 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 and I tried to Ishmael that wall. Oh, I know how we'll do this wealth transference thing. Bam! Life savings. Gone. Bam! Tried to do it again. Bam! Tried to do it again. I walked out into the fields. 5 different Ishmaels. Everyone blew up. Finally, okay, I'm done. So how many gets processed like that? If you get processed like that, you get put on the sideline. Okay, I'm done. I'm not going out in the field. Forget it. No, I'm not doing it. I'm checked out. And God said, no, that's not either. Okay, so I'm going to stand in the gate the rest of my life. I can't go through. I can't employ anything inside of me to do this because I'm going to fall on my face and yet you're not giving me instruction to go through. What can I do? He said, you can keep my word. You can go up. So, because I couldn't go out. If you notice, we don't do a lot of out. We do a lot of in. It's because it was the design. He goes, you can go up. I'm like, ooh. Started going up. I was like, whoa. In him I can live, move, have my being. I can start all that pent up stuff. There's nothing that was closed up there. It was all open. The door was always open. Started finding all these new territories. We built that map from being able to go and find all these places. Say, hallelujah. I'm like, whoa, there's a whole nother realm up here. And then all of a sudden we're up there exploring and then he opens the face of God. So the more we kept his word, the word kept opening. So we're journeying in this invisible word. It's all part of the mustard seed faith, by the way. Faith that stays with the seed. Because eventually we had to find out what our program was. What's your program? What are you on, by the way? What's your program? What's your program? I didn't know my program fully until we knew a lot of it until he started opening the whole Mount of Transfiguration. Oh, that's a programming right there. He wants us to obtain the life. That's a program. That was always there. We just didn't see it. He wants us to start obtaining resurrection life. Paul was trying to obtain it. He wants us to obtain the crown. That's a programming. Do you think everybody was there with the Lord because they wanted to hear his mysteries? His own disciples didn't understand him. What do you think about the multitudes? But they said, oh, this man's words with power. Whoa. Now everyone shows up because of what? The power. Everybody wants the power. Everybody wants answered prayer. There's a mystery to it all. I'm not talking about gift realm power. I'm talking about right hand of God, dunamis power. So we're getting into this program. We start venturing and spending all this time. And now God, he turns back and he says, now let's go plant the heavens. Let's go back into the earth. So he started the programming of planting what we've been receiving into the earth. He started that. All that's part of the seed. Continue. I mean, if you're asking for a lot, there's going to be a lot required. Amen? Now it's about taking what we receive and planting it into the earth. Speaking to mountains. Releasing, loosing what we've received. And we're getting little trinkets or little breakthroughs. We want to crack the whole thing. Ultimately, well, I want Thor's hammer. For a better word, I want to smash the rocks and let the water flow. Because I'm seeing God's holy end time glory sitting up inside of all his people. They're looking for it to come down. It will come down in a sense, but it's actually going to come out. So you got to ask yourself, what's in my water if it comes out? What's in my water? What's in your water when it comes out? What you put in it? Water's like a garden. What did you seed it with? What's going to come out is what you put in or identified with. We identify with the crown. We identify with resurrection life. We identify with those things that are come. They're up inside us. Now we're in the process of releasing and loosing. If it was my will, it would have been 10 years ago when I definitely wasn't ready. 5 years ago, definitely wasn't ready. Each time a year goes by, I'm like, oh, I wasn't ready. Thank you, Lord. But you think you're ready. But God knows. Amen. But also, this is an end time event that God is orchestrating globally. And now, suddenly, all this is going to become relative. Suddenly, the return of the house of the, it's all relative. It's all end time. We're getting closer. And now people are starting to talk end times now. When times are good, people are not talking end times. Well, it's always when the trouble shows up, you start hearing the people and they all start talking about the rapture. Oh, rapture's coming. Because they don't see. They only see in part. We've been graced to see some things. That's not always good, but it's still what our calling is to be. Before it's time, you're not going to make people hear this. You can go shout it out there before it's time. It's not time to reveal. Jesus didn't do a single miracle in his ministry recorded before his time. I wonder how many people died in Nazareth, him being the Son of God, and him watched them die. Think about it. 30 years, somebody had to die. Somebody close to him. Those were small villages. Knowing he was the Son of God, and he had to grit his teeth and said, it's not my time. Think about the compassion that came out of him, knowing, but he could not be revealed before his time. Amen. There's a time of the revealing, a time where now the seed has been identified. We know what's in the seed. The foundation has been laid. It's already been spoken. It's public revelation now. Time for the revealings at hand. There is a time the seed's going to break. The outer shell's going to break. What's inside, the spiritual essence inside, is going to break out into the natural. Breaking into the ground is like kingdom breaking into the earth. It's going to move into the earth. It's going to spread its wings. The Bible says it shot out great branches. A seed will exceedingly multiply 1,000,000 times greater than itself. It'll multiply, 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 multiply. Say multiply. The increase of its government and peace, there is no end. It's coming out upon the throne of David to establish it. He's got to bring the throne back in. He's going to sit on that throne in the earth. The glory has to return. Amen. That's the awesome part of staying with the seed, to watch it break out, to watch it start manifesting, to watch it start multiplying, to watch it start breaking out. There's a time when the seed's going to break. You know, the Bible says the seed has to fall into the earth and die. So there is a dying process. But then the seed's going to break open. It's going to reveal its what? Life. What is a seed? Does not reveal death. It reveals life. The life within, the final life, is going to be revealed. The seed's going to open, and the Lord's going to reveal the dispensation to come. He's going to reveal the life that's coming. What are the two great things the King of Glory is going to reveal? The King and his life. He's coming with resurrection life. He's coming to give us a resurrected body. He's going to reveal the resurrected body within. Both of those he's majoring on right now. The crown and the life. Say the crown and the life. Those are the two rivers coming out. The crown and life. One goes to the Dead Sea. One goes to the Great Sea. One for wealth transference, or the revealing of the King of Glory. The other will do business in great waters. The other one is for life. Everything that's dead will live. Both coming out from the seed. Here's the thing, and this is what I'll close with. This is what he's asking. All he's asking, can you continue with me? That is mission number one with me. Everything else I hear, I put on a shelf. I think it's all awesome. I think it's all good. Wish I could do it, but I know I can't. I can't be in every place. I can't do everything. Nobody can. So I'm going to stick to what I'm good at. I'm going to stick to what God said to do. I'm going to put the blinders on, the racehorse thing, you know. I'm going to look straight ahead. I'm going to look in this word. We're going to continue with this thing until it breaks open. And then whithersoever it goes, the Bible says it'll go to and fro the whole earth. I'm not in control of that. Nobody will be. Amen? We have been guaranteed by heaven that if we will not stop, if we will continue, if we will keep his word, stay with the mustard seed until it breaks open. Do you know that everything we've ever done now for 25 plus years of ministry, nothing has broken out of what we're carrying. It's still within. That's why it said they would rejoice to see the plumb line in the hands of Zerubbabel with those seven. He finally showed up. That's going to be a day of rejoicing. Finally, he's here. We can take a back seat. He is taking front seat. He's been burning before the throne. He has a 1,000-year millennial mandate. He has the end-time mandate of the church. He has the mandate for the two witnesses, the mandate for the 144,000, a mandate for the King of Glory for a 1,000-year millennial reign. It's all with him now. He's come out from the heavens. He's come out the final glory. He's coming out to manifest the house of David. He's going to rely on all things when he's done. The plumb line is the alignment rod of heaven. It's going to align the whole earth to the Father's will. And there's nobody going to stop it. There's no financial force, political force, force of darkness will stop him. Every mountain will be made low. That's a glory worth pursuing. Who art thou, mountain? Before this word, you will become leveled ground. For he, the Lord, Zerubbabel, the Lord, the king, he'll bring out the final crowning stone. He's going to bring him out. The seven spirits of God's coming out from the throne. We have not seen anything like what he's going to do. We have not seen anything like when he crowns the church. We don't even know what we're going to fully look like. There's going to be such a transformation. It's like a baptism of the Holy Spirit of that magnitude. But you're baptized into the house of David. Suddenly you're baptized in a wisdom way beyond your years. You're suddenly baptized in a dominion way beyond yourself. You're baptized in inheritances of a house. You're baptized in a government. You're baptized in the song and a sound coming out from the throne. Angels are all around to make sure this thing will abound. The King of Glory, lift up your head, O you gates. Lift up your head, you everlasting doors. And the King of Glory will come in. Say, he'll come in. He's coming into the earth. Highway of Zion. He's coming in, my friends. I don't care how long it takes. This year, next year, I have faith that's not going to stop. Your faith, it doesn't matter how many mistakes you made. It's just faith that doesn't stop. Amen? He'll perfect you along the way. If you need a lot of perfecting like I did, he'll do it. He's real good at it. He's very good at perfecting us. Amen? Let's give God glory. Hallelujah.